Welcome to WYCE's Community Connection. Community Connection is a weekly public affairs program produced in partnership with The Rapidian, a hyperlocal news service of the Grand Rapids Community Media Center. Community Connection brings to you diverse perspectives and viewpoints from community leaders across West Michigan. I'm your host, Allison Donahue. One Grand Rapids nonprofit is taking excess materials from around the city and transforming these scraps into stylish bags, all while prioritizing sustainability and providing valuable upskilling opportunities for local workers. Here on the show with us today is Janae Brower, the founder and CEO of Public Thread. Welcome, Janae. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So for those who are not familiar with Public Thread, can you let the public know, our listeners,
the people,
what you do, what your mission is? It's different than probably any other local business selling bags. So tell us about it. How did it start? Where'd the idea come from?
Yeah. So thank you for having me again. So Public Thread, we actually started as a for-profit social enterprise in 2016. We actually started in my kitchen, and it really came from this idea of how to actually do sustainable cut and sew manufacturing, pay living wages, and focus on really supporting labor and creatives that are in our community. So as time went on, we realized how much waste and textiles were being thrown away, and we couldn't afford to pay for those materials, but we knew we wanted our own brand. And so we evolved from there and just kept rolling with so many different partners and supporters across the community. A lot of the manufacturers that actually were like, we don't want to throw this stuff out. It's amazing. It's leather, it's vinyl, it's nylon, it's 3D knit material. And then we moved into signs, billboards, and banners. And so what happened over those 7+ years was really us testing and trying and figuring out what people were willing to pay for. What, when we look at how we design products, we do it actually backwards around what we have. And so that is inherently more expensive. It's time consuming, it's costly, and we pay living wages. And so that's different than a lot of the market. But back a few years ago, we started doing training as well and education, because we kept hearing from people, they wanted to learn how to sew. And we're like, we want to help you learn. We want to help you understand how to bring a product to market. So we started with youth, with the Grow 1000 program with the city and Steelcase. It really just has grown from there. So we started working with GRCC and doing industrial sewing program. And so in 2022, we actually transitioned to be a nonprofit social enterprise. And our focus is really on how to be a design, upskilling, upcycling manufacturing innovation lab. And so it's a lot of words, it's a lot of concepts, but the idea is, how do we build a circular economy, or one that's really regenerative around the materials that we already have? And then how do we support people to be able to make more products right here in town, and use that creativity that they have.
Let's talk about local. That's one thing that we really focus here on, Community Connection. Mm-hmm. So everything with Public Thread is local, from the materials to the workers.
Yep.
So can you tell us about, one, where do these products come from? When you say it's local products, I mean, who are some of the big players?
Yeah, so Steelcase has been our longest and biggest supporter. They are an incredible company that really puts their resources, their time, and their people behind what they say around sustainability and building a circular economy. We started with them in 2018, and we started taking, like, we took their first year 3.4 tons of material, and they bought back 17% of that in the form of promotional products.
Wow.
And so they worked us back into their supply chain. And so what has been really incredible with that partnership that has grown to be with many other organizations is really that, okay, you're giving away products to get to people who are walking through your company, customers, thank you gifts, employee gifts, recognition, et cetera, et cetera. And instead of buying stuff that was made overseas and has to have this huge carbon footprint, they actually buy it from us right in town. And what's amazing is we actually get to showcase all of their fabrics that might be in their supply chain. So it's part of waste. They really can't do anything with it. it's not core to their mission, which is, you know, building really beautiful furniture. So we take this material and then we transform it into whatever they might need. And so we've worked with them. We've worked with Meijer and upcycled billboards for Bridge Street Market and some of their other small footprint stores across the state. We have worked with Outfront Media and divert all of their billboards across Kent County. So we are sitting on like 22 skids of billboard vinyl. Order billboard bags. And then we work with so many different places. City of Grand Rapids, every year with the Neighborhood Summit, we make a unique bag for them to have to give away to everyone that's attending that. Nonprofits across the community, Chaco, all of our bags that are using straps have Chaco straps. So we've diverted over 35,000 pounds of their additional straps that would have gone into the landfill. And we turn them into straps for bags and weave them and do all kinds of really cool stuff. A lot of other nonprofits, organizations, and businesses across the community that are really wanting to incorporate sustainability and thoughtful local production into their supply chains.
We've talked about how the products are local, but you were also mentioning this upskilling mm-hmm. part of the business and having local people making these products. Tell me a little bit more about that. I mean, how many folks are employed at Public Thread?
Yeah, I think we're up to about 14 or 15 right now, which has been incredible this year. We have historically vacillated all over the place because it depends. We're based on contract work, you know? So having our brand is one piece and one way that we can sort of offer our own ideas to the world. And then we also partner with places all the time to design products that they might need. And so as demand has grown, we have, I think it's like 8 or 10 sewists right now that are on board. Not all are full time, but we're working towards that. And we're hoping to add at least 3 or 4 more in the very near future as some additional larger contracts come online. We're growing quickly, but our focus really always is on living wage jobs and in an industry that is very much based in low wage and slave labor globally and has been very untouched when it comes to policy around how do we actually care for people and the planet in the process of making things. We've embedded a triple bottom line into every bag and every product that we make. And so we're really focused on how do you actually, you know, use what we already have. We don't need any more stuff. We've got a lot. Mm-hmm. We're sitting on about 230,000 pounds of material, which is highly curated. We cannot take everybody's waste, all of it, because we just would be an indoor landfill. But we are working actively on figuring out, okay, if we can't repurpose a particular material into a very beautiful bag that we could sell, then could we grind it up? Could we turn it into fill for something else? Could we make it into strips and weave it into something? You know, like what are some of these other alternatives to find solutions so that we don't have to make more? We can just get more creative with what we have.
How long do you think it would take you if you weren't to add any new materials? How long do you think it would take you to get through what you have currently? Ooh.
Yeah, a minute. I mean, you know, last year we did go through a flood. And so unfortunately, we lost 12,000 pounds of leather that I had collected over years. We lost a third of our fabric. We lost a third of our Chaco straps and a lot of our scraps and materials that were, you know, art prize banners that we had been collecting and all of that. So I don't know. I mean, ideally, I'd like to say a couple years, but at the end of the day, it's about the demand on the back end, like getting those larger orders, because we do a lot of B2B or, you know, working with organizations on a batch of products. But we also love the direct-to-consumer stuff because we get to make really cool, like high-end luxury bags that are all made out of upcycled material that are designed and made right here in town. And so that is, it's just, it makes for just such unique products that allow everyone to kind of feel like, oh, this is a special bag. This isn't something that, you know, 25,000 people also have that are walking around. If we can increase sales and get more stuff moving through the system, we can take more. Last year, we took in 41,000 pounds of new material.
And with the upskilling side of this, do you host workshops where the public can come in, or is it always like a partnership with, I know you mentioned GRCC. Mm-hmm. Is that typical? Or if people are listening and maybe they're interested in learning how to sew or getting involved in that way, What are their options?
Yes, thank you, because this is like something that I have been working on for years and we have not been able to operationalize it until now. Mm-hmm. So we've had classes, we've had industrial sewing, we've done classes for youth, et cetera, but now we actually brought on a new program manager to lead our program work. And I am so excited because this year we have planned not only cohorts for youth to be able to actually learn about the design, manufacturing, and how to bring products to market that are upcycled. So that's super exciting because we want to build out our youth programming big time this year. We are also offering catalyst programs. So we're going to have programs for the community when you want to learn how to sew. And it doesn't have to be on an industrial machine. We have some of our tabletop machines that you could have at home as well. So we'll have those for classes. Could be a one-day, couple-hour class. It could be a few weeks long to learn about certain things. We could definitely, we're working with Kendall and a number of instructors around the community as well to learn about pattern making, sample making. If you do have a pattern, do you know how to grade it, which means how to size it up or down based on who your muse is for your product and who you want to sell that product to. So really, really cool, like a whole bunch of offerings that we're going to be starting very soon. And if you check out www.publicthread.org, you will be able to find out more information about classes that are coming up and specifically who they're for, so that you don't end up signing for like a long class that you're actually like, no, I don't want to do this for work. I just want to learn how to do it for fun.
I have an old 1918 Singer from my great grandma that is
so fun.
It's just collecting dust right now.
Oh,
so
you got to bring her out and let her shine.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Come on.
Make a bag.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And that's the thing is like sometimes the most intimidating part is learning how to thread or like if the machine comes unthreaded, how to rethread the machine. Like it stopped me for a long time because my mom taught me how to sew when I was younger, but I was like, it was the 80s. And so I just really wanted my Gerber jeans and like fancy guests, whatever. And so, you know, I didn't want to make homemade stuff. I've really learned my lesson since then. Yeah. I mean, there's so much that you can do with old stuff. Like it's pretty incredible. They're powerful machines.
Yeah. And I think now's a great time because with the rise in people interested in thrifting and buying clothes secondhand.
Absolutely.
There's also, I mean, when you buy clothes secondhand, they don't fit you perfectly. Exactly. And there's that need to learn to sew.
And to combine them, to take a sweater and a shirt and this, you're like, okay, I have holes in this, but I want to actually combine it, make it something like a jacket, taking the blankets and turning them into outfits. I'm like, come on with that. It's so cool.
It's so cool. So, yes, there's a huge need and want
to
learn how to sew. Mm-hmm. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Is there any product that you've made that maybe came from something really interesting? Like the original material was really interesting, or you transformed it into something that you didn't think you'd be able to?
Like our first, one of our first products that we made was out of, so the first material we got was from Brewery Vivant. They had all of the bags that come from wherever with their grains and hops and other things that go into making beer. Chris, one of the owners of Brewery Vivant, was like, oh my gosh, we have all these bags. We want to recycle them. We can't recycle. There's stitches, blah, blah, blah. Like, can you do something? So we took those and then we started making these big round bags using the lining of these, the grain bags from breweries. And then we used some leftover nylon on the outside and made these straps. And frankly, that bag has been what turned into using, we started using our billboard vinyl instead of the grain bags because unfortunately grain bags were really hard to work with. But that has been our longest standing, biggest selling product is our round grocery bag that we sell at Bridge Street Market. Go down and grab one now if you don't have it. But it's perfect for groceries, but also for so much. Like if you ski or you have outdoor, you have equipment or all kinds of stuff, like the shape of it is just perfect and it works for so much stuff. And so I would say that's the thing that has kind of stayed in a way I would never have imagined. Another really cool product that we made though was using Art Prize banners that we had like a big, it was a weekender bag, but staff deconstructed it. And so instead of having the lining in it, they made the lining separate so it could come out. And these stiff banners ended up with all these pockets all around. it's like, oh, this could be used in the back of your car for like storing all the stuff that you need, like shovels or not shovels. Who's driving around with a shovel? That'd be weird. Well, but like,
do you see outside?
Cords, you know, yeah, all the stuff that you might need to just have in your trunk, and it's got the stiffness to it that it retains its shape. And I thought that was really cool. We ended up having that a form of that bag in the downtown public museum. So we're actually featured in the fashion and nature exhibit as part of the future of the fashion industry, showcasing other local brands that are doing things that are around sustainability and really caring about the planet and people in the process of making really cool stuff that's unique to our community. So I would say those would be my two.
It looks like we are out of time now.
Oh, come on.
I want to make sure if there are folks who are at home or in their car, wherever you're listening to WYCE, but they're listening and they are loving what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. Is there a way that they can get involved?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to get involved for sure. If you sew, we would love to know about that, because we have a lot of young people that are learning. And sometimes, I mean, if you sew, you know that this is a really hands-on experience. And also there's a lot of information that gets passed down generationally, grandmas, mothers, and grandpas and fathers as well. But passing down the knowledge about like how to cut a corner or how to flip something inside out to get just the right stitch, or those special tricks and tips that are, there's never like a wrong way to do it. You can get to the same solution. So if you know how to sew, like we would love to have you come and volunteer, potentially walk alongside some people who are learning to sew. Potentially also you could help organize our scraps and materials that we have, could help cut if we have something coming up that we need to work on. So volunteer opportunities are always, we're always interested in that. Of course, donate. We are a nonprofit social enterprise. The resources go to support our waste diversion efforts, as well as supporting living wage jobs and our upskilling and training programs. And buy products, support us on social media, and share the word if you have any of our products. I hear all the time people love them, but I'm like, please share. It takes a village. You know, share the story. Like, hey, I use this bag for whatever, because sometimes people are using them for things that we wouldn't have ever known or expected. Donate, support, you know, come on board, join a class, check back on our website, publicthread.org, soon and often.
And there is a chance for folks to come down in person coming up soon and buying. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we are so excited because we've had Misfit sales before, but it's been a minute because of our flood last year. So we have a ton of samples and things that might have something might be a little off on it. So we're having our Misfit sale Saturday, February 10th from 10 to 2. It's at our actual workshop, which is at 446 Cesar Chavez Avenue Southeast or Southwest. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's Southwest. And we're up on the second floor. We'll have signs all the way around. So we're in a really large old manufacturing building, but we'll make sure that there's good signage so people can find out. So that's February 10, 10 to 2.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on our program today and telling us about the amazing local work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to WYCE's Community Connection, a weekly public affairs program produced in partnership with The Rapidian, a hyperlocal local news service of the Grand Rapids Community Media Center. I'm your host, Allison Donahue, and that's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week, same place, same time, WYCE 88.1 FM.